From the Land Grant University in Fargo, North Dakota, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 10th day of April. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about this morning's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates Report with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Joel Ransom from NDSU, that's North Dakota State University, will join us to discuss spring wheat and how conditions are not ramping up at the moment in his state and what might happen should producers be unable to get spring wheat in a timely fashion here across North Dakota and parts of the Northern Plains, and what crop maybe they might put in. We'll also talk about the agricultural energies today. That was Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services. And Don Day will be here to tell us about that great big snowstorm that could be making its way across the Midwest by the time we get to the weekend. Again, it's April the 10th. Hey, one more item. It's our spring fun drive, though it doesn't feel like spring. And now's the time for you to dial in. Giddy up with your support at willag.org, willpledge.org. For the agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media, it's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Hey, one thing, it is a one-day spring fun drive right now. So, hey, let's giddy up for willag.org and pledge your financial support. That's easy to do. 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. I kind of like the $120 level, but please do give and make sure that they know you're giving in support of agriculture. Now here's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, to talk about what happened in Chicago. After the USDA reports this morning, a quick review of those numbers, Wayne, tells me that the corn ending stocks were up 55 million, soybeans down 5 million, and wheat up 30 million, that nationally. And I think those numbers were kind of what the trade expected, weren't they?
It was so quiet when it hit 12 o'clock over here in Indiana and the report come out. There was no difference in how they were trading on the click, click, click. And generally, it froze my screen the last two times we've had a report. It was moving so fast you couldn't move from one page to the other. It was pretty boring.
Anything out of the world-ending stocks that changed very much? Did you take a look at what happened with, for instance, soybeans? I think they were down, 3.6 million metric tons. That's about 132 million bushels, mostly off of what the expectations were coming out of Argentina. But again, I suppose that's what we thought would be the case, isn't it?
I think it was a big number. It was lower, and it was out of Argentina, where we were looking for it to come on down. They raised the Brazil bean stocks a little bit, but not as much as we thought they could possibly raise them. They think these could be raised a little more. So, all in all, it seems to be an offset between Brazil going up and Argentina going down. And as we talk about that, one of the sales announced this morning was U.S. beans sold Argentina.
Absolutely. That's an unusual affair. And I'm wondering about that a little bit because we know Argentine farmers have soybeans, old crop, maybe not new crop, but I guess they're hanging on.
They seem to be hanging on, and because the processors are not buying the beans from the farmer, I think that they're looking to use their crush capacity because the crush margins are still very, very good.
What do we do from this point forward for the next week or so?
Well, I think that basically we're going to be watching the weather more than anything here now, just for the simple fact we continue to see, planting delays. Corn was, I think, 3% planted that way, but then 2 is average for this time of year. But in all the areas where we're going to be going to the field, we're looking for nasty weather again this weekend. We did talk, and some corn and rice is being planted in Arkansas today, but as far as our other customers' way, it's more like they're making sure the machinery's ready to go when it gets dry.
We'll check in with Don Day when we finish up our time together, but I talked to him a little earlier today, and I think it's the I-90 corridor that's going to be really sacked by this next snowfall.
I think that is like blizzard conditions is what it looked like, as we looked and listened to Agribull's weather here yesterday morning. Why, it sure didn't look very kind for up in the Dakotas and parts of Minnesota, that's for sure.
May mean a few more days in Fargo, North Dakota for me, but that's all right. I'll spend them up here with my daughter. So
there you go. Hey, I guess you're up there where the snow might come falling, aren't you?
Probably above it, but it means I won't be able to make my way home over the weekend, or at least not until Sunday, I would think. So we'll see how it all goes. Hey, thank you so much for taking the time and for helping us out today.
All righty. Thanks a lot, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Don't forget to dial in at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support. Giddy up for willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released its weekly crop progress report, the first one of the year, to include a corn planted number. It sets now at 2%, and that is right on average for the rolling 5 years. USDA says 3% of the winter wheat crop has now headed. The rolling 5-year average is 4%. The condition of that crop is 14% very poor, 21% poor, 35% fair, 26% good, and just 4% excellent. By the way, spring wheat planting across the United States is running behind as well, with just 2% reported as planted. The normal rolling 5-year average is 6%. Now here are some of the numbers from the state statisticians across the Corn Belt.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Region Field Office. Another cold week prevented field work across most of Iowa, with just 0.8 of a day suitable for field work during the week ending April 8th. Isolated reports of grain transport and fertilizer application were received. South Central and Southeast Iowa moisture conditions continue to be dry, with over 1/3 of topsoil considered short to very short, and over 1/2 of subsoil short to very short. 4% of the expected oat crop has been planted, 8 days behind both last year and the 5-year average. Livestock conditions continue to be mixed. Cold temperatures and snows have hampered early spring pasture growth and continue to present challenges for calving throughout much of the state. For USDA NASS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Temperatures were well below normal and precipitation was slightly above average last week. Temperatures range from 10 degrees below normal in southern Illinois to 17 degrees below normal in western Illinois. Southern areas of Illinois had above average rainfall, and northern areas were a little drier than normal. The average rainfall across the state was just over 3/4 inch, and that was slightly above normal for the week. Days suitable for field work were limited to an average of just 1/2 day around the state. Soil temperatures range from the low 30s to the low 40s on Sunday. 3% of winter wheat acres are heading, compared to 2% 1 year ago. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 4% very poor, 8% poor, 38 fair, 43 good, and 7% excellent, slightly better than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener from the Springfield, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Dan Lochta, state statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office. Additional snowfall and lower than normal temperatures across the state resulted in no days suitable for field work during the week. Snow cover remains widespread, with much of the state's reporting temperatures well below normal. Pastures remain dormant as spring calving continues, while some producers struggled with dwindling hay supplies and sloppy cattle yards. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to USDA NASS and the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. They'll air each and every Tuesday during the growing season right here at willag.org. Now let's turn our attention to spring wheat across the state of North Dakota. Joel Ransom is here. He's with North Dakota State University and responsible for that crop. Thanks, Joel, for being here today. First, you're responsible for more than just spring wheat. Tell me about the crops that you look after.
Mainly work with the cereal crops, and so that includes corn and the small grains, primarily spring wheat, but we have a bit of winter wheat, durum, barley, oats.
So here in the state of North Dakota, they'll plant, and I know this because we watched it last year change so much, somewhere between 6.5 and 7 million acres of soybeans. How many acres of corn do you plant?
I think we're around 3 million acres of corn typically.
So for my area, that corn-soybean ratio would be pretty odd. How many acres of spring wheat do you have?
I think we're around 5.5 million acres of wheat.
So is soybean the number one crop in the state? Surely not.
Well, I think what has happened is that soybean a couple of years ago probably overtook spring wheat is the number one crop. So, yeah, it's our number one crop. But, you know, traditionally we've been a spring wheat. I mean, that's been our dominant crop over the years.
Are there good reasons for that to change? I mean, you've been responsible for watching corn and wheat, but you must understand how it is that soybean, or have a good idea of why soybean took that number one lead role.
Well, you know, I think we've had wetter climates in the last couple of decades that have been favorable for the longer season crops, and I think that's why we've seen corn creep in, and we've, you know, I think soybean actually is probably a better fit. It's planted a little bit later than corn. It's harvested a little bit earlier, and there's some, maybe a little bit less risk for some of the frost-related issues. And then wheat, I think some of the issues have been that with the wetter cycle, we've had to deal with issues of DON or vomitoxin associated with Fusarium head blight. And I think that's chased, if that's the right word, wheat out of some of the areas that have been getting more rainfall. So you have more rainfall, so you can grow a longer season crop, and that's made it attractive for some of the corn and soybeans. And then you've had this risk associated with scab that's kind of pushed some of the cereals, like barley. You know, we hardly see any barley in the valley anymore, and the same with durum. They just don't have the same level of resistance to scab that the spring wheat does, and they've basically disappeared.
So in the state of Illinois, we would think of a crop rotation that includes wheat mostly in the southern part of the state, something like corn, wheat, second crop, soybeans, back to corn. What would that rotation look like in North Dakota? Because we're following corn with wheat, but you're following soybeans with spring wheat.
Right. So one of the problems, as I mentioned, is if Fusarium head blight can be problematic, and it becomes more problematic when you follow corn. And so one of the recommendations is don't follow corn with wheat, and so typically we see a lot more wheat if it's in the rotation would follow soybean. And I think corn following wheat is fine. It seems to work okay, and so there may be some of that. And it might be that they do corn. I mean, it looks like we will probably see more like soybean wheat, soybean corn, soybean, you know, that kind of thing if people are going to put wheat back into the rotation or be part of the rotation.
What's the planting dates for spring wheat look like, given the growing season appears to be and is actually starting very late for the year?
Yeah, I mean, and typically we could start planting our spring wheat at this time of the year. I mean, we don't worry about frost and other issues once it's in the ground like we would with corn. It's more tolerant to lower temperatures, so earlier the better. You know, basically our recommendation is if you can get out there and plant, that's a good time to plant your spring wheat. And the idea of that is that you want to put spring wheat early so that you get into the grain filling when it's cooler, you know, as cool as possible. But the only way you can do that is to manipulate the planting date. So, but, you know, typically I would say that we would spill into early May, and we start seeing some yield reductions when planting is delayed beyond that, say, the first week in May. We would see some regular daily yield reductions, typically.
Any reason, and the trade will want to know this as far as pricing goes, that spring wheat would not be planted if it gets late enough, and what's late enough, and what crop would they put in if that were to be the case? And I think, you know, the second one depends on the first one.
Yeah. Well, so what would be a typical switch date? And it's hard to say what would be a good drop-dead date for spring wheat. I mean, certainly as you approach June, I think in most parts of the state, I mean, we probably push things a little later in the northern part of the state, but I would say that, you know, most of the state would probably, you know, you get near June, then it's probably not a good idea to go with spring wheat simply because of the yield reductions that are associated with that later planting. And so what what's a good crop to jump in if you get delayed. And, you know, I think soybean is a natural one. I mean, corn, I think our kind of optimum planting date for corn is around that 20th, up to the 20th. I mean, it's the 1st of May to the 20th of May. And so even that isn't as, I mean, I think a good fit following a delayed first spring wheat would be soybean. Or sunflower, I guess, would be another one, but we don't see a lot of sunflower in the state.
In your recollection, have they not been able to put all of the spring wheat crop in very many years?
Well, you know, we have issues with prevent plant from time to time. I think more associated with too wet of a spring, and farmers aren't able to get in. And I think that does take a toll. And you know, that's more typical in the more northern tier probably than in the rest of the state, where you've got the cool springs, you got lots of excessive rainfall, and you're just simply not able to dry out quick enough to get in, and the season's shorter up there as well. So that could be a risk. You simply have prevent plant.
Joel, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Joel Ransom is an agronomist here at North Dakota State University.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's check the agricultural energies now. Stephen Platt is with us. He's from Archer Financial Services out of Chicago. Hey, good afternoon to you, Stephen. Lots of things happening with the energies, and they're kind of hot today. I suppose some of that having to do with maybe the tariffs and the situation with China and possibly Syria?
And yes, and that's perfect, pretty much right on, Todd. Certainly the crude is currently up almost $2 right now, trading 65.37, knocking on the door of the most recent highs towards 66. I think the market is still certainly very sensitive to the Syrian news and the trade tariff news. Certainly with Xi's comments here yesterday, pulling back from a real major trade row has helped the market, not only in crude, but equity markets as well, helping ease some of the concerns over economic prospects there. We've also had in the background Venezuelan production going down. That has kept compliance quite high in terms of the OPEC agreement that includes the non-OPEC producers such as Russia. Draws have continued in March. And also, I think overall, there is a general concern that if there is any disruption in supplies from Syria, that could have some connotations for the market as well as geopolitical tensions in the Mideast increase. But we'll see how those play out. There's still some bearish influences that have been out there and have led to some weakness here over the past month as well. These have included a buildup of crude supplies in one of our key producing areas of the Permian. That has led to some rather weak basis levels and a pretty dramatic pickup in Cushing supplies, which is the key delivery point for our crude oil contract here in the U.S. It's not only it has softened values at times, but it also has led to a widening of the differential of European values to U.S. values as well. Certainly, U.S. production continues to set records. We reached 10.4 million barrels in March. That's up 280,000 barrels from February and compares to only 9.3 million barrels last year. You are also looking at production in 2018 still trending higher, reaching as high as 10.7 million barrels. And in 2019, the EIA's projecting production to total 11.4, putting the U.S. as one of the largest producer pretty much in the world, on par with Russia.
That, of course, is Stephen Platt. He is with Archer Financial Services. When we come back, we'll talk with Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don Day is now here from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, so tell me about the weather forecast for the Corn Belt, because it looks pretty rough as we make our way through the weekend.
Well, it is going to be rough. For the Corn Belt in the Northern Plains, south all the way into the Delta region, we are going to have a classic, very strong late spring storm. First and foremost, expect winter storm conditions across the I-90 corridor that's going to go across Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, then into Minnesota as we get into the time frame of, in the western areas, as early as Thursday night, but it's Friday and Saturday. We've got a dangerous situation for livestock interests in those areas. In that location along I-90 is wind and snow heavy at times will be likely. South Dakota, I think, is probably in the bullseye of this storm, the whole state, but portions of Minnesota, northeastern Wyoming, portions of Montana, northern Nebraska. Then we're going to see on the eastern side of this a breakout of severe weather. Heavy rain, damaging winds, tornado activity will be found in the central and eastern Corn Belt, especially Saturday into early Sunday.
And you mentioned the Delta region. Will they be getting rainfall?
They will. As you go across far east Texas, Louisiana, eastern Oklahoma, into Arkansas, southern Missouri, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, those areas could see significant rains, heaviest under the heavier thunderstorms.
Hard red winter wheat in the southwest. I take it there are some extreme temperature ranges that started when we got really cold a few days ago, but they've been heating up.
They have been. And, you know, that area of the country is still very dry. And this storm is going to essentially miss them completely. But what it will do is produce a lot of wind and bring in some pretty cold temperatures as we get into the weekend. So those areas really not getting any help when it comes to any good moisture. The wind and the big swing in temperature will be a concern as well.
Okay, let's look into next week then and maybe the week after that. Farmers are beginning to get anxious from Illinois to North Dakota. They'd like to get moving. Will we see a time where we can dry things out and maybe begin to put some machinery in the field?
I think it's going to be a while. We're going to have to be exercising a lot of patience because it looks like at least for another 2 weeks, we're going to see a very active portion of the northern tier of the U.S., and that does include portions of the Corn Belt, seeing these systems come through about every 2 or 3 days. We don't see a large gap between storms, and it may not be until after the 25th, 26th of April before things begin to slow down a little bit and warm up and dry up across the nation's midsection. So it's going to be a little rough and tumble here for another couple of weeks.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, have you dialed in your financial support for agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media? If not, it's quick, simple, easy to do. I kind of like the $120 level. This is our spring fund drive. Just one day. One day. So giddy up. Do it right now. 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455. Or make that pledge of support online at willpledge.org. Don't wait. Do it right now in support of agriculture that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.